I know why you don't want to sit in the front row now, because if they use the black book, there are no black books in the front row. At the first meeting, you can be sure nobody's in the front row, so they're not going to use the black book. I feel sorry about that earring. You can't have it until the service is over. It reminds me, I went to church in New York City, and there's free parking, so I went and parked. Went to the church with my little sticker and went right up front and said, let me stamp this. They said, no, you have to stay for the service, and then we'll stamp it. So that's the way it goes. We don't give things back until after the service, so that's the way that is. But I'm going to, first of all, this is Mother's Day, and I will say it again, Happy Mother's Day. Yeah, somebody almost said, you too. Don't you? Sometimes you say something, a greeting to somebody, and they said, yes, well, you know, they didn't hear what you said, you know. So to just try it out. Say, Happy Mother's Day, and see if they come back. If you're a man, I mean. If you're a woman, that's okay. Or a mother, if it's okay. I mean, I just thought that was unusual. But anyway, today, Tom Miller tells me, would be his mother's 97th birthday. And he said she always got cheated because it was also Mother's Day. Of course, it's Mother's Day, and it's her birthday. You know, usually you want two occasions, but now it's only one. But then there's an anniversary, and that was on the 12th, right? So she kind of won't have the, you know, when you're buying gifts, it's nice when it's all in one day. But anyway, that's special. She was a special lady, as we think of mothers. I can't talk about mothers or women without reading some of Proverbs 31. You didn't turn to it, it's familiar. I'm just reading the latter part of it from verse 24, 31. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring praise at the city gate. I'm probably the wrong one to be speaking on Mother's Day. I remember my mother said the day was invented by Hallmark just to sell more cards. My mother was a very practical woman. She always said she was a Martha. She wasn't Mary. She was a Martha. My father would pray, thank you for the food set before us, and she would say, I said it before you. Maybe God provided it, but I said it before you. My mother was very practical, so maybe I shouldn't be here talking on Mother's Day. But mothers are special. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to read some things about mother. Not my mother particularly, but mothers. Mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much more. One of my favorite columns is by Irma Bombach. And she tells of God in the act of creating mothers. And she says that on that day God created mothers, he already worked long overtime. And an angel said to him, Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one. I hope you don't think this irreverent, but I thought it was special what Irma Bombach had some great things to say. The Lord turned and said, have you read the specs on this model? She is supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She used to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She used to have a lap that will disappear when she stands up. And she is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. And she is supposed to have 6 pair of hands and 3 pair of eyes. She is supposed to have 1 pair of eyes that see through closed doors so that whatever she says, or whenever she says, "What are you kids doing in there?" she already knows what they're doing in there. She has another pair in the back of her head to see all the things she is not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has 1 pair right in front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word. The Lord goes on to say, "I am close to creating someone very much like myself." You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek. "This one has a leak," he said. "I told you that you shouldn't put that much in one model." "That's not a leak," said the Lord. "That's a tear." "What's a tear?" asked the angel. "Well, it's for joy, for sadness, for sorrow, for disappointment, for pride." And then added, "And I didn't put it there." Well, maybe with all this in mind, we can better understand the seemingly selfish request that Mrs. Zebedee, the mother of James and John, had in Matthew 20. If you don't mind, I'll just read that again. "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling down asked a favor of him. 'What is it you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these 2 sons of mine may sit on your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'You don't know what you are asking,' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from the cup, my cup, but to sit at my right hand or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father.'" This I just entitled "A Mother's Prayer." I'm just requesting you just look at this mother, Mrs. Zebedee. Some think her name might be Chloe, I'm not sure. But she's mentioned in one of the Gospels as being there with the women at the Lord's grave, coming to prepare. She was there with the other women. So she was a remarkable woman. I'd like to just start off by saying, I have a 3-point message, and the first point is this. She prayed that her sons might be part of the kingdom. There are some positives about Mrs. Zebedee. Well, first of all, I mentioned later on she was there at the tomb. She was a loyal follower of the Lord Jesus. But this is positive, I think, to pray that our children would be part of God's kingdom. Jesus did not grant her this request the way it was phrased, but neither did he deny it. It's admirable for any mother to want her children to be believers. Sometimes mothers pray out of necessity, and other times because it's not easy being a mother. James Dobson tells a story, I guess, early in his married life when they had 1 child, I guess, and I guess the baby was very sick, and James Dobson's wife, I forgot her name anyway, was just having a hard time taking care of this little boy, I believe it was, and she got the diaper out, and the phone rang, so she picked up the phone, and then it was too late for a diaper, you know, it goes on. big mess there. Of course, in those days, you could have a phone, you could stick it in your ear, I guess. But today, everybody texts, so you never could do a diaper and text. Anyway, whatever it is, this was a problem for her. And then she fed him and then tried to, you know, pat him to get him to burp, and he did more than burp, and that was all over her and all everything else. It was just one horrible day. And James Dobson said he came home, and she turned to him, "Is this what I signed up for? This what it is?" You know, sometimes, I guess, as new mothers, you can understand what that might be. Sometimes mothers pray out of frustration, not knowing how to communicate instructions to their children. They say there was a woman who had two sons. One was 3 years old, and the other was a little baby. And she had to leave the room and said to Stephen, the little three-year-old, said, "Please watch the baby." She just left the room for a minute. The baby, and she heard thud, and then tears. She came back in the room. "Steve, didn't I tell you to watch the baby?" "I did. I watched them fall, and I watched them cry." Little frustrations for mothers. Sometimes we are proud, and other times they drive us to tears. I say us like I'm a mother, but as a father I can do it, but I think mothers more so. Children can be just wonderful, and they can be, don't ask at the wrong time, and you might find out, my goodness, she doesn't really like her children. Sometimes children can be difficult. Fortunately, they're all downstairs. They can't hear this. But if we pray for our children, and they're successful, but they don't know Jesus, then we're disheartened. If we know Jesus, we want our children. And that's what I'd like to just say, what is so important for mothers. To pray, though really praying, that your children would come to know Jesus. That's number one, you might say, in importance. Yes, we want them to be smart. Yes, we want them to have good grades. We want them to get a good job. We want them to be successful. We want all those things. It hurts us, and I know personally, it hurts mothers even more when their children are not successful in something. It just hurts. You just want them to be successful. But we want our children to know Jesus. And so let's be kind to Mrs. Zebedee. She prayed for her children to be near God. Maybe it was bold. Maybe it was presumptuous. Whatever it might have been at the time. And yet, let's look at this. She prayed. Do we really pray that our children would be part of God's kingdom? That they would truly know Jesus as Savior? That should be a passion of a mother. Number two, she prayed that her sons would be involved in the Lord's work. She didn't just pray that they would be doorkeepers. She would pray that they'd be active in service. Now, when you think of the disciples, all 12 are not always named, but there's three that are always named: Peter, James, and John. When the Lord went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he took with him Peter, James, and John. Those are two of these sons. So the Lord didn't say, "Well, yes, you can't sit on my right hand and my left, and because you asked that, you can't be a part of me." It shows that Peter, James, and John, and these two brothers, James and John, were especially close to the Lord. John was called the disciple that Jesus loved. Does that mean he didn't love the other disciples? But there's something special, and I think it tells you perhaps something about John. And maybe something as a result of a mother's prayer. She prayed that her sons would be part of the Lord's work. Not just the privilege of knowing Jesus as Savior, not just the privilege of having your sins forgiven, but the responsibility of what it is to live for Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to serve Jesus. And it begins at home. It seems today that maybe some parents have forgotten that it begins at home. I'm not a school teacher, but I sympathize with school teachers because it seems today that every time the kid does something wrong, it was the teacher's fault. I can remember when I never did anything wrong, but once in a while, but I did something. I was a fairly good kid, I don't know why, but anyway, if I came home and said, you know what happened, the teacher did this, that, and I said, what did you do? You know, I went almost saying, what does it matter? I'm your son, what does it matter what I did? It's always, what did you do? Today it seems like, I don't know whether what your exposure is, but it seems like the parents are saying, the school did this, the school did this, the school did, the teacher did that. And then they have back to school night and hardly anybody's there, except the teachers. Maybe that's not true, I haven't been around. As you know, I don't have little kids anymore. Even my grandkids are big, so it tells you I'm getting up a little bit, so. That seems to be what is forgotten. It begins at home. You want children to follow the Lord, then they better see the example at home. Many times I regret not starting a little time of study of God's Word at home. Of course, we did it, but it's so important to have some people call it an altar, whatever you might call it. Yes, we give thanks for the food. But children know how important being a Christian is. They recognize it. They see it as an example in the family. And that's so important. To pray for our children that they might know Jesus. But pray that they might walk with Jesus. They might see it in the home. See the leadership in the home. See the care in the home. See the love for the Savior in their home. And then in the church as well. A lot of kids today growing up are playing ball at this time. And I realize that's some Christian kids as well. And I'm not going to lecture about that. But I'm just saying some of those people never go to church. People who haven't been brought up, if people brought up in church, they know once in a while they have to have their kids involved. But people that growing up today don't even go to church. I would imagine that many of your neighbors don't know the Bible stories. Kids growing up today don't know Jesus loves me, this I know. They don't know that. They probably never heard it. Hopefully, maybe they went to Bible school once in a while. But we have a whole world, we have a whole country that, if you remember, Dan described Zebedee. Here, I'm on the subject, Zebedee. Zimbabwe as being more of a Christian country because everybody was singing and talking about Jesus, and here you better not do it in school, and there may be a reason for that, but I mean it's just not the natural thing. People don't know the Bible story. When you're kind of witness to people, you almost have to begin at a different place. The four spiritual laws have no meaning to most people. They don't even know what you're talking about. So in a way, to witness today, we need to show it in our lives. We need to be friends with our neighbors. Someone said we should have more unbelieving friends than we have believing friends. Now, growing up, I heard the opposite. But I think today, it's more important to befriend those that don't know Jesus. Because that may be the only time or only place they're going to see Jesus. Because you're going to be Jesus in front of these people. They're probably not going to go to church. If they go to church, it might be once, twice a year. And I think you'll find that that's pretty average out there, that people are not there. They don't know the story. So it's so important that your prayers and care be for your children to be not only following Jesus at home, but be involved with the church and the Sunday school, the youth work, whatever that might be, that you might be surely just following the Lord. And then in the community. It's so important to ground your children. I remember when our children got in high school, suddenly we wondered why they were choosing different friends. You don't ask, and they'll never tell you. They've just chosen to go a different direction. What the reason is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, whatever it might be at high school, it might have been. And they just decide quietly to go another direction. And I was happy to hear from my daughter-in-law, and she was a little upset and concerned about Jeffrey, the second one, because he had so many friends. He's one of those kids that has a lot of friends, and all of a sudden didn't seem to have so many friends. And Jeffrey will never tell you that. But we're proud that he made that decision to go a different way. Seek out different friends. What do they say? Alcoholics. People, places, and things. Yes, we're responsible for ourselves, but we have to make decisions of where we go and who we associate with and what things we handle, because it's so important in staying and walking with the Lord. So it's so important in the community. It's important at home. And if it isn't at home, it probably won't be at the church, and it probably won't be in the community. But it needs to be in all three. And I would just say, secondly, pray for your children to grow in grace and knowledge and wisdom and to know the Lord better and to serve Him in every possible way. That should be our prayer. That was her prayer, that her children would not only be saved, but they would walk with the Lord. She said, on the right hand, on the left. I'd just like to say she wanted her children near the Lord. What could be wrong with that request? She didn't understand the implication, maybe, of what she said, but that's where she wanted them. And then say, thirdly, she had big expectations for her children in her prayers. Again, she wanted the right and left hand. She didn't want them just to be doorkeepers in the Lord's house. She wanted them to be close, walking with the Lord, as we described earlier. Was she brash, presumptuous, or just wanting the best for her children? As we said before, you want the best for your children. You want them to be successful. You want to be happy. You want your children to be happy. You know, they didn't get all A's. But if they're really happy, that's more important and adjusted. I've known some children who had perfect grades and thought they'd, the next test they took, they would flunk. It's so intense that there's no enjoyment. They're tied up like a knot. You want your children to be happy and adjusted as to where they are and confident as to where they are. But again, to know and walk with Jesus. We should strive and pray that our children would strive for excellence in the Lord's work. We need to strive for excellence in our presentation of the gospel and wherever we do for Jesus, that we strive for excellence. He wants the best from us. And her love, Mrs. Zebedee's love, was like God's love. A mother's love is like God's love. As Irma Bombeck said, that a woman, a real mother, is more like God, who loves undemanding, who loves unconditionally. We always have terms for our love, don't we? God had no terms for His love. He loved unconditionally. And many mothers I know have that same love. No, they're not God. But they model it after God. How could you love your children after they did this, whatever horrible thing these children might have done? But you still love them. They're your children. They may choose another pattern of life. They may walk differently. But mothers never forget to love your children. Their lifestyle may be different. We hope it isn't. But when it is, don't forget they're your children and love them with all your heart. You can't be judgmental anymore. They've grown up. They've made some choices and maybe you're not happy with them. But you need to love them. You need to just, with all the passion you have. And I'm a man, I don't know that. You women know that. Love your children with a passion. I'm reminded of another illustration of Solomon Rosenberg back in the Holocaust times. Solomon Rosenberg had a father and mother and two children, his wife. And they were taken. They were Jews, they were taken. And they were told if they work hard, they wouldn't be taken away. That they wouldn't be gassed. Perhaps they didn't say that, but that's what had been the result. But after a while, the mother and father could not function the way that they were told to function, and the mother and father were taken away. And Solomon worried about his son David. David was frail and not able to do what other kids are able to do. And David, he came home one day and David was gone. And Solomon asked his son Josh, what happened to David? Well, they took David away because he couldn't do what he was asked to do. Well, where's your mother? Well, when she saw how upset he was, she held his hand and walked away with him. Sad story, a real story, but unconditional love from a mother who cared so much for her child. Mothers, do you know God's unconditional love? Are you here this morning and as yet don't know that God loved you and sent his own son Jesus to die and pay for your sins? So hard to pray for your children if you don't know God, if you don't know the one to pray to. We need faith, but let's remember, it's the object of our faith that is important. We can have all the faith and trust in the world, but if it's in the wrong direction, if it's not to God himself, through the Holy Spirit, and the salvation of Lord Jesus Christ, there is no hope. We need to know Jesus. We need to know that unconditional love before we can even begin to have that unconditional love ourselves. And do you pray for your children? If you do know Jesus, do you pray for your children that they might know their sins forgiven? They might know the joy of walking with Jesus. And then, that's not enough. Do you keep praying for them that they'll walk with Jesus? So always, when you go through the missionary handbook, you always look for missionaries where they came from, and you'll find churches all over the country and all over the world. I think it's a little disappointing. We'd like to be able to see a missionary that went from this place. We know we've had some. But wouldn't that be nice? And I'm not saying your only success is to go in the field as a missionary. Your success in the Lord's work would be being Jesus in the community. And mothers, your children now, more important than ever, that they be walking with Jesus in the community so that people around them can know Jesus, can see Jesus in them. I'm not trying to set them on a pedestal, but that's what the Lord says, that we're to be like him. That people may look at us and see the Lord. How do we act in relation to other people? What do we do? What decisions do we make? What places do we go? What things do we take part in? All of this is so important that we walk with the Lord and able to explain it. We have to be and acknowledge Psalm 23. The Lord goes with you. If we're praying to the wall, nothing's going to happen. But we're praying to the God in heaven. And Psalm 23 says, I'm with you. I'll go through the valley with you. And we all have valleys. Some are deeper than others, but we have valleys. We have the shadow of death, if you will. But the Lord promised he'd be with us. We need to pray. for our children's salvation. We need to pray that our children would know and walk with the Lord and serve Him at home, in the church, and in the community. I just like to close with a hymn of prayer, 431. I found out a few people don't know this hymn, but I think Greg is going to come up, who said he doesn't know it too well, but I think maybe we'll at least know the chorus pretty well, and maybe we could sing a verse or two before we close.
It's new to me. I've gone over it. I have some help. That's great. No. I have a finger pointing to me. He says, hey, you're on your own. But I've gone over a little bit, and we'll do our best. It's 431 in your red hymnal. 431 in your red hymnal. And we'll wait for Margaret to get Betsy tuned up over there. How are we doing, Margaret? Okay? Okay. It's 431 in your red hymnal. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. We'll do our best. I have a Savior, is pleading for me.
Father and God, we thank you for our mothers. Perhaps we wouldn't know Jesus if she didn't know him first. What a privilege it is to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Lord, that not only mothers, but fathers and each of us would pray that our children would know the Lord. That if we're not mothers or fathers, that we'll pray for people around us to know Jesus. But to, more than that, to walk with Him, to serve Him, to just be Jesus in this world. Because this world is going in the wrong direction. We as believers need to be more like you in serving you in every possible way. Lord, we just thank you for who you are, that you love us in spite of our sin and sent your Savior to pay the price for our sin. We give you thanks and we give you praise. We ask you to bless each of us today, especially each mother here. We pray this in the name and for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.